We just look at our national settlement.
Things I found that I referred to earlier, our new general manager of sales and distributions, is the third new general manager in the business in the last 6 months. We go to Melbourne every 3 months, and they, Wendy, and myself are astonished sometimes at how many new people are in the business. There's a lot of investment going on in Melbourne to help strengthen the platform. So we're very encouraged about next year, and hopefully you are too. So our next speaker is our first keynote, it's Beth Powell. Beth is a digital marketing and social media consultant who runs coaching and training programs for a wide variety of clients. She's also a trainer, a speaker, an author, who's worked with small business owners in the not-for-profit sector, as well as local government managing major events such as the Sydney Delegate Games. Beth recently participated in the Advisors Digital Bootcamp series. We're thrilled to have her with us. Please welcome Beth Powell.
Gathering and walking up that aisle there, it just wasn't the right person by my side. It's really good to be here now. Some of you have heard me speak before at Digital Marketing Bootcamp, and that was about how to in digital marketing and about leads and so on, pretty practical session. Today I'm not going to talk about that. It's not that I'm going to be practical. Practical is my nature. It's just we're going to talk about influence and how you can grow your influence and how you can use other people's influence to grow your influence and also your referral network. Now we're going to take questions with this session, but at the end. So if you can keep your questions or note them down, and then we really enjoy a lot of questions at the end. I'm sticking around for afternoon tea and I'll be joining you for dinner tonight, and I'm happy to talk about digital marketing, social media, whatever you like. Just come over and say hi. So how many of you are Uber users? Hands up. Yeah, right, significant part of the room. How many of you downloaded the app but haven't had a chance to use it yet? No one. Excellent. Oh, maybe one. So I want you to think about what caused you to make that change to use that, right? We were so used to using taxis, and then suddenly this new thing comes along and we use it. So think about what caused you to use it. Now I'm going to tell you about a little story about Uber. If I said to you, I'm going to deliver, would you like me to deliver you a kitten to your workplace for 15 minutes next Tuesday? You'd look at me like I was a bit odd, right? You think kittens in the workplace, that's totally weird. Well, that's what Uber did. It, for one day, it said kittens on demand to workplaces in cities all around the world. Right, all around the world, get how big that is. So Uber Kittens, hashtag Uber Kittens, and then the on demand was added. So the hashtag Uber Kittens was what it was all about. So Uber said, on this day, if you would like a kitten delivered to your workplace so that you can play with a kitten, you can cuddle a kitten, step back from your computer, put your phone down, we will bring a kitten to you. Now this campaign was run in conjunction with local cat protection societies, right? So the kittens were also up for adoption. And there was a small donation that was offered to the Cat Protection Societies as part of the campaign. So what the users had to do was download the app to book a kitten. So you couldn't book a kitten without downloading the app. So what it did is it got people using the app to start with, right? Got to use the app to get a kitten. Then the kittens are delivered by Uber drivers, and you find that they've only got one head, they've got two arms, you know, they're normal people. So it introduces the drivers to potential users of the service. Now the other thing that happens, I don't know about you, but if a kitten came into my workplace, especially, you know, they're mostly cute or weird, right? That's kittens. You take photos of it, videos of it, as everybody did, and uploaded those photos and videos to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, blogs, Snapchat. So you can see what I'm getting at. When you have that amount of content with hashtag Uber Kittens accompanying it, you couldn't miss the fact that something was happening. So let's say you've never heard of Uber. You're just trolling through your Facebook news feed, and you're going to see, whether you deliberately set out to or not, you're going to see a lot of the people within your networks, photographs of themselves with the kittens. So you're going to be introduced to the brand by your network, right? And they're going to say, wow, this company's so cool, look at this, keep this, because it's pretty weird, right? Let's say you've got a perception of the brand that may be negative. The other thing that this campaign does, as you see all this content coming into your Facebook newsfeed or whichever newsfeed you choose, you're going to change your perception. Your perception is going to be changed of the brand as a result of it. So what Uber did was it grew a referral network through Uber Kids. So a wacky idea, growing a referral network. So they used influencers, right? Everyday influencers to build that referral network. And I'm going to talk to you about that today. I'm going to talk to you about everyday influencers. I'm going to talk to you about the principles of influence and how you can adopt the principles of influence to increase your own influence. I'm going to talk to you about a process for growing influence and growing a larger referral network. And then finally about how you can work with people who have established influence already. So why do we care about influence? Well, the first thing is, it's really hard to get through to some people, right? It's hard for marketers to get through to some people. And that's been made more difficult due to ad blindness, what we call ad blindness. So we're always moving around ads, changing locations of ads, because people get used to, you know, the banner ad up on the right-hand side of the screen. So we move ads around for ad blindness. But now we've got these things called ad blockers. So if you use the technology that actually blocks ads, well, then we can block you out as well. But in addition to that, sometimes people just don't hear. So people listen to influencers. Now, my daughter is a great case in point. Anybody with teens in their households probably have this same story. So she's got a couple of YouTubers that she follows, and she watches all of their videos. Now, her interest is in makeup, and you know that makeup's a big thing with teen girls at the moment. But whatever these influencers tell her to buy, or whatever they recommend, she goes out and buys it straight away. The action is immediate, even though she has a similar product, right? 5 mascaras, 200 eyeshadows, because she's been, this one's the best one, this one's the best one, for whatever reason that is valid to her, right? The influencer drives action. So not just awareness, the influencer drives action. And that's quite different to what a lot of advertising can do, particularly social media advertising. Influence grows influence. So the more you associate with influencers, the greater your influence. And you can reach the hard to reach, people who have got their fingers in their ears, or actually their headphones in their ears. And so, you know, they're not listening. Influencers get cut through. So that's why we care about influencers. Now, you probably think about everyday influence. So who is an everyday influence? You know, I know back in the day, we used to, I worked in an organization when we were for the Sydney Olympic Games, and there was a couple of people in the organization who we had identified as influencers, and so they liked to chat and they were well connected. So when we wanted to drop a piece of information, we just casually drop it to each other in the lift, and we would know that that information would spread throughout the whole organization. So it was an informal way of communicating stuff that we couldn't or wouldn't or shouldn't put in writing, right? You didn't want to put it in a memo, so you wanted it to filter through the organisation. Now, those people were everyday influencers, right? And some of you are smiling because you know them, right? They're in every organisation. So what is the definition of an everyday influencer? It's this guy. They're more likely than average people to seek out information and to share their ideas and recommendations with others. They may be highly informed, they might be specialists, they might be respected, or they might just be connected. Right? So that's the everyday influencer. So let's have a look at everyday influence today, because what we've got that everyday influence, the kind of thing that I used to do in the lift. Now that was back before, you know, I was leading up to 2000 games, so it was before social media. Now you've got that effect amplified with social media. So we've still got the same kind of behaviour of the people who like to share stuff, they like to know things and they like to share it. We've still got that behaviour, but now we've got the potential for amplification. So here's a couple of examples that I pulled from Twitter. So what I did was I did a search in Twitter. I said, with using the keyword phrase, love my broker. Tested two things, hashtag love my broker and love my broker. And what I found was that a hashtag campaign, love my broker, was run in 2009. So in 2009, there was lots and lots of posts in Twitter, love my broker. So I thought that was interesting, but not really what I was looking for. What I was looking for was more current things, and this is what I found. So people just saying of their own accord that they love their broker in Twitter. So I want to draw your attention to the middle one, Jen U2. So what she does here is how much she loves her mortgage broker, and then that at symbol is the handle, the Twitter handle of her mortgage broker, and so she actually calls her out. And then she says, amazing and caring service, and then she does it again, right? So that's pretty strong. It means anybody who clicks on that blue writing goes to the profile of her mortgage broker and can see her mortgage broker and connect with her mortgage broker there, right? And she's given a strong recommendation. Now let's have a bit of a look at Jen as an everyday influencer. Jen U2, I should say. She's a fan of U2. We can see she's got just over 4,000 followers. That's not too bad. That's quite high, really, for the average person on Twitter. And we can see that she's made 15,000 tweets, more than 15,000 tweets. So she likes to chat on Twitter to her network. So that makes her an everyday influencer with amplification. Now, the thing about Jen's message is it's a good message, but for a message to cause some change in someone, it needs to be repeated. So it would be better for Jen if she posted that message again and again and again. I'll tell you why in a minute. The other thing that would be good is if somebody else shared that message, because that gives it social proof. It says somebody else is saying this as well by sharing it, by the action of sharing it, they're endorsing it. Now, the reason we need repetition is because networks are busy things, busy places. Like, most of you are familiar with LinkedIn, right? Yep. So you know the LinkedIn newsfeed, it just moves really quick now. So there's so much going on there that you don't, if your eyeballs aren't on there right now, you can miss it. Because you can scroll through to catch up with stuff, but you can't scroll through enough, so you're not going to see it all. So a network, in order to, a message to be seen, needs somebody's eyeballs on it at the time, right? Because we don't do much scrolling, there's too much information in there. So you want to repeat the posting so that you've got more chance of more eyeballs being on it, right? More people seeing it. And then if the same people see that message twice, that's fine. Repetition is what it's all about. I mean, how many times have we been told eat more vegetables? So many times. How many people have adopted the advice yet? Kind of getting there, right? Getting there. So repetition is a key thing for influencer type of messages. Now, here in this room, you're all influencers. You're all influencers because you are experts in your field. Right? You're experts in your field, you've got value to offer, and the third thing is you have a unique perspective. And you have a unique perspective simply because you're you. Right? Each one of us has a unique perspective. So you're not going to be the same as the next broker, right? Just because you're you. So that makes you a potential influencer. To extend your influence, I suggest that you follow or understand some principles of influence. Now, these principles of influence started to be studied by psychologists and marketing professors back in the 1950s with those weird experiments that they used to be allowed to do. Now you're not allowed to do those kind of weird psychological experiments because universities won't let you. But back then, you could do terrible things to people in the name of science. And so part of this was this, let's prove influence as a science rather than a theory. So they did test and test and test. So here's the principles that come out of that research. The first thing is reciprocation. We are more likely to feel influenced by somebody and indebted in a way if they give us something for nothing. That's either a product or service or do something for us. Now, let's put this into a digital marketing context. How many of you have downloaded a free ebook or attended a free webinar or downloaded a checklist or a guide? Yep, show of hands. Yeah, so what, 80% of the room. So what's happening there is that somebody is giving you something for nothing, right? Of course it's not, because it's about building influence. So when you're thinking about your own influence, you think about what are the free gifts that I have to offer. Second principle is social proof. People are more likely to be influenced or in a particular direction when they can see others moving in that direction. So this is where we're so focused in social media to have people commenting, sharing, and making reviews about what we do. So we seek that out because that's social proof. So what Jen U2 did for her broker was an example of social proof, and that's very powerful because anybody else with the question is going, oh, well, look at that. Jen U2 went there and it worked for her. I'm going to go there too. Right? But when we're faced with a difficult decision, we look around at what others are doing. The third one is commitment and consistency. That means that if you say you're going to do something, you have to follow through, right? An influencer follows through, because otherwise it's kind of about that trust thing, you know? You break someone's trust if you say you're going to do something, then you don't do it. And then they go, oh, you're not the kind of person I thought you were, right? So that consistency and commitment is an important part of influence. The fourth thing is liking. Now, liking and knowing are quite similar, and people will feel that they know you before they've met you. You know that idea of, you know, I know you before I met you, and you do that by looking up people online. So they can feel that they like you without ever having met you, but only if you've got a presence on social or digital that they can look up. I'll tell you a funny story. I have got an Indian minor bird problem at my place. You know, Indian minor birds are those little pesky ones, like those rats with wings. They're the imported variety, they're not the native variety. So I've been trying to get a trap for my Indian miners for quite some time. I was going to build one, but then I thought the council might have one already. So I rang up the council and, yep, sure enough, they had a trap for me. So I go up there and pick up my trap. And this guy who greeted me, he's the environmental officer at the council, and he was just so friendly and like as if he knew me already, you know, he was like treating me like I was our friend. And for me, it was kind of a harried Friday afternoon thing. I'm just going, yeah, I'm just picking up the trap and then I'm on. Anyway, he said, can I help you out to the car with the trap? And I'm, yep. So the trap's two pieces of chicken wire on top of each other, connected. So he's bringing it out to the back of the car and he says, you know, I think it's really interesting what you do. And I went, what, with the trap or the car or what? You know, his association with me is only about the trap and the car. He says, no, the work you're in. So in between me ringing him up and saying, got a minor bird trap for me, he looks me up online, checks out my website, looks at me on LinkedIn, then has this big chat about my work. And he kind of looked a bit embarrassed, you know, he's kind of looking at his feet, going, yeah, sorry, I just looked you up. And I thought, isn't that funny? In every walk of life, like just picking up the minor bird trap, people know you before they meet you. So that's an example of liking. The other one is authority. Right? About our credibility, demonstrating our credibility. Why should I believe you? Right? Well, because you've got awards or you've been in the business for X amount of time or because whatever reason it is. But we're more likely to accept influence or identify influence when there's credibility associated. And then the final one is scarcity. And I think scarcity is really interesting. Right? As I said earlier, why do we care about influence? Influencers have a wait list. Right? Because there's only you as the influencer, so people have to queue up to see you, right? Because you're an individual, so you're limited by the amount of hours that you can meet somebody in a day. So influencers have a wait list. It is absolutely scarce because it can only be as many hours as you got to spend with those clients, however you choose to do so. So it's scarce by very nature. So that's the principles of influence. So when we're thinking about how do we move our influence meter more, we want to be thinking about and adopting those principles of influence. Now we can do that by adopting a process. So I'm going to run through this process pretty quickly, but this was developed by a guy called Daniel Priestley, and he's written a book called Key Person of Influence. And if you look it up, I'm sure the book is downloadable for free because he's into the principles of influence. So practice what you preach. I think you can find the book for nothing. So the first one is perfect your pitch. So pitch is the first P. Publish your ideas. Raise your profile. Make partnerships and productize your value. So let's just go into those a little bit more deeply. What does that mean? So in the pitch, it's about being clear about who you are, what you do, who you do that for, and how that makes those people feel, right? So clear on the outcome, not just all about you. Now, that pitch is what you tell people when they meet you. It's what you put on your LinkedIn profile, what goes on your business Facebook page, it's what goes on your website, right? It becomes the thing that you are known for. Now, the funny thing that I see in digital marketing is people have all these weird titles. So when somebody says to you, you know, I'm an entrepreneurial motivation guru, you kind of go, oh, right. And you're trying to sort that through your little head going, now, who do I know who's like that, right? And you can't categorize it. You can't actually identify what that is. So it's good to be having some kind of title of what you do that is easily understood by people. It's like a term that they would Google, right? So it's easily understood. For publish, the publish part of the process is about publishing your ideas. And the best way to do that is in a book. You're going to look at me like I'm crazy, really? You'd think we're going to write a book. But plenty of mortgage brokers have written books, really good books. And I'm going to give you an example of some. But a book is like a business card on steroids, if you like. It's not about, you don't publish the book so that you can make, you know, be a number one bestseller. That's a pretty rare thing to happen. It's about, you know, people respecting you more because you published your ideas. It's also about putting your content in one place so that you can break that content down and publish it in a whole lot of different places. Sorry, I'm not used to a lectern. I'm used to walk around with my hands with the mic and my hands flapping. So books, blogs, videos, and podcasts. For those of you who don't know what a podcast is, it's basically an audio and become very, very popular with people using them, smartphones and accessible through iTunes and also Google Play. Now, what about our profile? Here's where social media comes in. So we're going to boost our profile across social media platforms. As well as that, do speaking gigs. We're going to use PR, traditional media relations. And then a really easy one, and I know a lot of people who've built their profile by doing this, is finding people who are producing podcasts and go on as a guest. Because the podcast format is often an interview, right? So they're hungry for good guests. So if you're a good guest, if you do a good interview, then you've got that podcast and that's something that you can distribute. And if you're doing a lot of that within for people who are producing podcasts for your audience, then that clearly boosts your influence. Partnerships are about partnering with businesses or individuals who have the ears of your audience, the ears and eyes of your audience. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about partnerships in social media or partnering with influencers down a little later. And then products is about defining your products and packaging up your value. What I find is that when people become more influential, others want to get closer to them. They want more from them. So if you're influential that somebody, for example, listens to your webinar, then second step they're going to want to do is, well, what have you got to offer me? Is there an ebook? Is there a workshop I can go to? What is the next step that I can take in my journey of knowing you? So that's the five P's. Now, sorry, this is a very ugly slide, but I wanted to get the whole story in. Here's an example of a person who did it. His name's Charles Bednack. He's a financial advisor. He's based in Tasmania. Now, Charles was working at a large firm, in a global firm. He was working in the Tasmanian office. And what he did is he wrote a book. And he published that book in 2011. He updated the book and published the second edition a year later in 2012. He got in the Australian bestseller list for that book, which is an amazing achievement. As an author, I know how tough that is. So then he set up a Facebook page for the book, and he started to distribute little tips of content from the book into the Facebook page, right? So he didn't really have to come up with any new ideas because he put them all in the book in the first place. Then about extending the reach of the book, he gave it to every library in Tasmania, every school library in Tasmania, and then he started doing talks to parents and friends, associations, and to kids about financial traps and how to avoid them. He used the book as a gift for fundraisers across schools, so within his community. His employer republished the book, because by now he'd done 5,000 copies or something. He republished the book and distributed them to every single one of their clients. So you can see this is really growing now, this network of people who have got Charles's ideas, right, and are reading Charles's ideas. He set up a website with his name. He set up social media profiles with his name. He wrote a blog. He established a YouTube channel. He's still producing a lot of videos, so you can, if you look him up, you'll be able to see him. He wrote an e-book for migrants and he gave it away to various community centres. He won awards and now he's a sought-after media interviewer and also conference speaker. He stepped out of the role that he was in before and he's opened his own business in Tasmania, and his problem is too quick growth. Clients are no problem for him because obviously he's, within his referral network now is huge. So it started with the book. Now, how does social media play in all this? And I want to introduce you to the four parts of social media, and the two that we're focusing on today are the ones that are concerned with influence. So the four parts of social media, we've got social selling. So that's your ads, right? The ads that you're doing in Facebook, and anyone who's heard me talk about that before, we've got a process for that. So social selling is the first one. The second one is social listening, and that's doing searches like I did in Twitter, in Facebook, in other networks to find out what people are talking about. What are the kinds of things that they're saying? So particularly across the networks that have the people that you're interested in, the more you can understand what's bothering them or what they're gossiping about, the your communication meets its target better. And then the two bottom ones, social influence and social networking. So social influence is about using social media to develop influence, right? Because of this amplification thing that I already spoke about. And social networking is partnering with other people who have social influence. You know, sometimes for businesses it can be hard to climb that social network influence ladder on your own. Partnering with an influencer, it's just somebody kind of giving you a bit of a leg up. Not that you can get a leg up on a ladder, but you know what I mean. So influence plus social media equals social influence. And those of you who are using Instagram or seeing Instagram images would be familiar with something like this. So this young woman was interested in fashion. So she started to produce a lot of content around fashion. Then some brands approached her as her following grew and said, "Can you represent us?" She now does that, and the items of clothing that she wears, it's possible to click through on a link and purchase them directly. So she's like a direct sales agent, if you like. Now, social influence is categorized, right? What's most popular on the social networks? What's most popular on Instagram, Facebook, and so on? So the categories are lifestyle, parenting, fitness, food, and so on. So what we're looking for is we're looking in many ways to tap into that, right? Because that's what people are really caring about. That's what they talk about. So how's that done? I want to introduce you to a social influencer called Kanna Campbell. Some of you might know her. She's a financial advisor. Now what she's done is she's set up this thing called Sugar Mama TV. And what it does is it advises young women about managing their finances. She did a really interesting thing. She set up a challenge called the $1,000 challenge. And what the idea is that you save packets, her words not mine, packets of $1,000. Now for some of her, the people who follow her, $1,000 is gonna be way too much, right? So she says, oh, it's $100 or it's, you know, $500, whatever you can do. And the rules of the challenge are that you can't take any funds out of salary or savings. So it has to be outside, it has to be actual new savings. So that means you're going to have to go without something. You might have to sell something that you don't use, and you might actually have to do something that maybe you, in other circumstances, you might hire someone else to do, mow the lawn, for example. So that's the rules of the challenge, and she invites people to join her in the challenge, and she does the challenge. And the Her process of going through that challenge, she makes these short videos about. But she also makes videos about fashion, about beauty, wellness, health, lifestyle, and parenting, and interior design, and, you know, maintaining a household, all through the lens of finance. So she can do those fashion shoots, she can do these, you know, pretty things of her on a horse and all of those kind of images, right? But it's all through the lens of finance. So she's tapping into those categories in social media in a really clever way. I've got a video to show you, and what I want you to have a look here is just some of the characteristics, the style, which is pretty common.
Hi, new subscriber. Welcome to Sugar Mama TV, your financial coach, creator, and counselor. I'm Hannah. This is my son, Rocco, my King Charles Cavalier, Sophia, and my chocolate Labrador, Giuseppe. All my videos are shot inside my home, and my channel is all about empowering you, educating you, and inspiring you for a better financial future. Through my knowledge and experience, and from being a licensed financial advisor for almost 15 years, I've made a series of bite-sized videos. Now, I'm someone who actually follows my own advice. I'm really passionate about what I teach and what I preach. All my videos are really easy to understand. I use really clear analogies so that you can actually understand what I'm trying to show you and actually go away and apply those techniques and see some amazing results in your financial future. Just as we like to focus on our fitness and health, I really am passionate about financial well-being. When our finances are out of whack or not flowing as they should be, and deep down we know we could be doing a better job, the stress of that can be really quite dramatic and people really underestimate it. That stress can infiltrate into relationships, it can impact our health, and it can really stunt or slow down our personal growth and development. I believe, and I see every day in working with everyone, and if you'd like a complimentary budget, you also need to subscribe at this website. I'm also on Instagram as well and on Facebook. I really hope you enjoy watching all my videos. We love hearing from you. We love to see which ones are your favorite videos and which videos you want to see more of. You can also book an online Skype consultation if you're enjoying the videos and want to chat with me personally. I love hearing from you and I love being able to speak to people all around the world. It's so much fun and I really enjoy it. So I hope you get a lot out of this channel. I hope you are able to make some amazing shifts and changes in your relationship with money and be able to create more financial freedom and independence for you and your loved ones. I better go because that's my child having a lot of fun downstairs. I want to go down and hang out with him. So ciao for now and I'll see you in my new videos soon. Bye.
So a couple of things that you would have observed. You know, there's the two dogs on the bed. There's the child, there's, you know, the child's noisy at the end, you know, yelling stuff out, and the edits are really rough, and she's kind of half scripted, you know, she's got it down kind of half pat, but it's pretty authentic and pretty real, and so that's the key. There's no one's trying to make that look more polished. In fact, less polish is better because it comes across more real. So a couple of things that she's done. She's gathered up her digital assets. So her digital assets are her domain name, right? So what you need is your own name as a domain name. So bethfowle.com.au. So you don't own your own name today, now. Maybe later tonight you can see, check, see if it's if you can get that for, you know, $13.99 for 2 years. Create your social media profiles in your name. Now, if you haven't already, you might be too late, but give it a go and get the next best thing. Then you build just a plain website in your name. So your, you know, equivalent to bethpowell.com.au. And it, even if you're not actually doing anything with that now, you can just park that thing, right? It's just a matter of having it. If you're not ready to build the website now, then don't just have the domain. The domain is the most important thing, it's the thing to do now. Then what the influencer does is publish. As I've said, the publishing part is really important. So they publish to a hub. Now, typically that hub is a place you want to reach, who your audience is. And then the characteristics are that there's a cohesive theme, right? So you always talk about the you know, that your audience understands what you're talking about, how you talk about that, and you don't go off topic. Right? If you go off topic, somebody thinks you're being paid. Your audience thinks you're being paid to go off topic. And all of a sudden, your authenticity comes into question. You don't want that. So you've got to stay on topic to continue being authentic. You publish heaps of content. So content, content, content. This is why it's good to write a book first, because then you can just, you know, you do it all in one go. Lots of images, moving and still images. Relatable people in relatable settings. Right? So it's not suit and tie kind of caper unless that's what your audience expects. So it's about really knowing that audience well. Authenticity and consistency. So for example, Hannah Campbell, she publishes twice a week. So particular type of content on Monday night, more finance focused, lifestyle content on Thursday night. And so that's when her videos are launched. So people come to expect and they watch it as soon as it goes up.
So that's developing your influence yourself. And now, as I said, you can really help your influence, or influence grows influence, when you partner with other influencers. It's called the Oprah Winfrey effect, because she was marvelous at it. She was marvelous at, initially, having people on her show which would increase her influence, and then she was actually increasing others. So I'll never forget that, you know, Tom Cruise acting crazy on her sofa, that famous one. That just went whoosh, for the influence radar of both of them. But her ability to sell any product now is called the Oprah Winfrey effect. All to do with influence. So influencer marketing is that thing where you use somebody who has influence to sell a particular product or idea. Now, the difference with influencer marketing and regular marketing is that your target is the individual influencer, right? It's not the audience as a whole. So you're targeting the individual influencer because then that person spreads the word within their networks. Now, it's a formalized thing. So you come into a formal arrangement with an influencer to promote an idea, product or service. Now, I can feel you saying, hey, is that legal? Doesn't there have to be a declaration? There is no rule currently in Australia that you have to declare that somebody is being sponsored. So let's say an Instagram star who talks about lifestyle through a finance lens suddenly starts talking about an experience with you. They don't have to, there's no legal requirement for them to say, I'm being sponsored. Although Australia Post did get into a bit of trouble where it hired a number of quite famous Instagram stars and got them photographing themselves at Australia Post boxes. And the problem with it is just so obvious. It was so obvious that it was sponsored content and wasn't identified as such. So it wasn't that they were breaking the law, it was that the audience got upset because they said this is inauthentic. And so they complained, and they complained to the ACCC, which then caused Australia Post to get in trouble. So they got a slap on the wrist, said sorry, and it all blown over. You're in an industry that's heavily regulated, and so this is another, a point that people raise with me is, you know, we're so strict about what we can and can't say. So at no stage during this would you be talking about products, specific products. It's all about the experience, right? The focus is on the experience, and that's what people want to know. They want to know about the experience of, you know, doing business with somebody, about the experience of the $1,000 challenge, for example, or some kind of challenge related to a first-time purchase or investment home purchase, something like that. So it's coming up with the idea that's the clever part of it, and the challenging part. Influencer marketing, that is paying other people of influence to promote products and services, is so hot right now. If you do a Google search on influencer marketing agencies, you get this astronomical number of results. I couldn't find out the actual number of agencies. And so the way it works is this, that you have either, if you want to use an influencer in your marketing, you would either go to an agency, and the agency represents, it's like a talent agency in a way, it represents the influencers. And the agency would help you come up with a campaign idea that was going to resonate with the audience. The other way to do it is to use a platform. So a platform is where people who say, I'm an influencer, register, and businesses come and post an idea. And if that idea interests the influencers, they can grab it, and then you end up in a negotiation about what it's worth. So HypeTap is one of those influencer platforms. And it says it has a reach of 211 million consumers through over 1,700 influencers. That's pretty heavy duty. How much does it cost to use a platform? I couldn't tell you. And in fact, the founder of HypeTap couldn't tell me, because he said it's the Wild West right now. So it's very popular, but it varies. So some businesses, some of the agencies have their influencers paid, others have them just experience the product and write about it. Because you have to remember, the influencer person, they need content to write about, right? So the fact of delivering them good content and experience that they can write about, you're actually giving them something in that way. So sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it's a lot. So it's a real mix. How do you identify an influencer? Who's an influencer and who's not? So according to the agencies and the platforms, an influencer needs 5,000 followers in one channel, right? So you can't have 5,000 followers across Instagram and Facebook and call yourself an influencer. You've got to have 5,000 followers in one channel. Now, when I've talked about this before, some businesses have come up to me and said, yeah, but we're small, so, you know, 5,000, it just wouldn't make any sense for us. And that's true. You know, that can be the case. And so in that case, you're not looking at agencies and you're not looking at the platforms. You might just be finding influencers in your, you know, local networks, influencers that make sense for the scale of your business. So people who you can partner with in a way that then are going to promote your business in a way that's a win for them and a win for you. So the individual number can be whatever you like. So a couple of different marketing platforms, influencer marketing platforms. These are Australian startups. They're all, I guess, Hypetap is probably the biggest one, and Blog Avenue is the newest one. But you're going to find Australian influencers, Australian language, Australian context with those ones. So six steps for influencer marketing. The first one is leverage the everyday influence that you find. So you need to be tracking in social media so that you can find stuff when people say something about you. And then you're going to repost that, you're going to publish that, and you're everywhere. So when you've got some people in your network saying something positive about you, you want to use that. So that's leveraging the everyday influence. Second one is find the social influencer who has your audience, has the ear of your audience. Now that social influencer can be one of those 5,000 ones, or it can be a small one, right? It doesn't matter, so long as they've got the scale that you need and the ear of the audience that you want. The third one is about be clear about your objectives. You know, mostly with influencers, it's more about education and brand than leads, and about building a referral network. It's not direct leads like Facebook advertising is, for example. So you're gonna be clear on what your objectives are, what you're trying to achieve. Personally, I think that there is a lack of understanding about what mortgage brokers do and the value that they deliver. It was really interesting what Glenn said earlier about, you know, how complex a competitive and volatile market is. And so mortgage brokers are, in fact, you know, the sage advice within that complexity. And I think in consumers have a lack of understanding about that. I talked to a lot of people in preparation for this talk about refinancing, and a lot of people said, what's that? I've never done it. And they've all got mortgages. And they go, oh, right, okay. I think there's a big market for a refinance education campaign. So that kind of thing, those kind of ideas work really well with influencer marketing, where you're trying to change the attitudes or behaviours of a particular group. So be clear about your objectives. Then find it, come up with a campaign idea, something that's going to resonate and that uses the principles of influence that I mentioned earlier. So an example is, you know, a great campaign idea, Uber Kittens, right? Great campaign idea. It's actually not about cars or transport or anything, it's about kittens. I think another great idea is the $1,000 challenge. It's a really great idea. Agree what you're going to offer in return, and then measure and leverage your results to increase your success. So those of you who know me know that I like to do case studies. I like to do case studies with brokers and then report back from the stage and the talks that I do. So I have one planned. We have a campaign, an influencer marketing campaign planned, and we want to distribute the results to you when it's done. It's actually not going to be launched until the new year, because that's going to make sense for the campaign idea. So the campaign idea is about detox. So the influencer I'm working with, she has 40,000 following. She's a young woman, she's working and she has kids. Her background, she used to work in property and in large organizations. Now she works more as a digital marketing person and as an influencer. So her audience is working women with children. So the campaign is detox. And when I was talking to her about this idea, you know, I was talking about health and wellness and, you know, the New Year's resolutions that we all make. I'm going to, you know, give up smoking, I'm going to lose 17 kilos, and, you know, I'm going to be nicer to the dog, or whatever it is, right? There's usually three. And so she said, in her world, what it is I'm going to detox. I'm going to detox myself, my body. I'm going to detox my wardrobe, which is one I've never really thought of detoxing my wardrobe, but yep, detox my wardrobe. And the third one is detox my finances. So the detox influencer campaign is being launched in January. And what it will be is, she happens to be perfect, because not only does she have 40,000 audience, She's actually looking to buy another investment property. She has a couple. She hasn't been through a refinancing process, and so we're going to go through the refinancing process with a broker, and she then is going to write about her experience through that detox campaign lens. So she's going to write about it, blog posts and so on, repetition. So it's going to be interesting to get the results, and I'll be happy to share them with you when we do. So if you want to be more influential than you already are, because I already said you're influencers, if you want to be more influential than you ever are, than you already are, it does take hard work and persistence, right? Just like that example of Charles Redneck, you know, writing the book and then distributing it to the PNFs and all that stuff. It takes hard work and persistence. And partnering with the right influencers, so connecting with other people with social influence, helps you, pushes you up that tree, gives you a leg up. But you know, if you don't actually get started, if you don't actually do it, then you'll never know. So practicing, you know, getting your own influence, using the 5 P's for your influence, and boosting your profile and publishing your ideas is the way to start. And if you don't start, well, you'll never know. Thank you. Do you have some questions? Okay, so the question is, out of all of the social networks available, which one, how do you know which one to choose? I think it's a really interesting question, you know, because I look at, and I'm often asked, which network is going to be around for longest? You know, is Snapchat going to stick around? Is Instagram going to stick around? Or because it changes so rapidly? I think the important thing is, where is your audience? If your audience is on Snapchat, then you're on Snapchat. If your audience is in Facebook, you're in Facebook, right? And if your audience is not on LinkedIn, just because you work in professional services doesn't mean you have to be on LinkedIn. So the key to it is, where's your audience and knowing where that is, right? And it might surprise you. Somebody told me the other day, oh yeah, all of my crowd is off Instagram now because it's so fake. We're all over Snapchat. And I was pretty surprised at that. But, you know, it's kind of keeping up to date with where they're at and knowing that. Any other questions? No, well, as I said, if you're shy and you want to talk to me about something, I'm sticking around for afternoon tea, and thank you very much.
Very good, thanks, Beth. Now we've got